You ready for the Word of God, yes or no? Plan for purpose, all right? Last week, we talked about purpose, and we talked about Mary, the mother of Jesus, and purpose. And the week before that, Chrissy Titsworth talked about Esther and did a great job with that. And this week, I'm going to talk about, in this thing about purpose, I'm going to talk about a man named Peter. We're going to look at the life of Peter. And Peter is one of my top three people in the Bible that I love. And I love Peter because he's the one I most probably identify with in my life. And because most of you know, if you know the Bible, you know Peter's life. Peter had foot and mouth disease. Peter could not close his mouth. Peter had a gift for saying the wrong thing at the wrong time, you know, just always just saying the wrong thing. And this guy just thought he knew it all, you know, and he was always saying things. Well, sometimes I have that problem, but that's why I kind of identify with Peter. But I also, one of the other reasons I identify with Peter is this, is he never stopped moving forward with Christ, even though he made mistakes. He never quit. I love that about Peter. I love that about him, is that he never quit. He kept moving forward. And Peter made a lot of mistakes, you know. And he you know, the big three, you know, he denied Jesus three times. He denied Christ. And so we're going to go to Luke chapter 5 in your Bibles. And in Luke chapter 5 is an incredible story of Jesus in his public ministry. He just started his public ministry, and he's starting to teach, and he's there by the Sea of Galilee, and he's teaching, and crowds are coming around him. And so the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 5, and she's going to put the scriptures up on the screen, but I'm not going to read them all. I'm going to wait till the end to read some of them. But Jesus is there, and he's teaching. But the Bible says that he steps into, and Peter's called Simon in this translation, steps into Simon's boat, and you have to know that that was not by accident that he stepped into Peter's boat that day and started to teach. Why? Because Jesus was doing it on purpose, and he had a purpose for Peter. Peter didn't know it at that time, but Jesus knew it at that time. And he stepped into Peter's boat, and he begins to teach. And the Bible says that after he was done teaching, that he told Peter, let's launch back out into the deep and put your nets back down. And here's what Peter said after that. Peter said, well, we fished all night, and we didn't catch anything. Nevertheless, at your word, we'll do it again. And sometimes we need to have a nevertheless attitude. Sometimes, you know, when God tells us something, we don't necessarily need to look at the past and maybe saw what worked and didn't work. We just need to obey him when he speaks to us right now. And that's what Peter said. Nevertheless, even though we fished all night and didn't catch nothing, nevertheless, at your word, we'll do it again. And you know, they launched out to the deep, if you read the story, and they had this great catch of fish. And the Bible said it was so great that even the nets began to break. And there's a message in that right there, and I'll share that one later too, okay, about the nets breaking. But the nets began to break, and there was so many fish that they had to call another fisherman over to help them. And so they did that, and another boat came over to help them. And afterwards, the Bible says that Peter realized basically who Jesus was, and he kneeled before him. And this is what he said. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, oh, Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man. Wow. And then it goes on to say, for he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, don't be afraid. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, don't be afraid. Well, from now on, you'll be fishing for people. As soon as they landed, they left everything and follow Jesus. Wow. In other translations, it uses the word immediately. Immediately, they dropped their nets. Immediately, they dropped their nets and followed Jesus at that moment. Wow. You got to know, these were fishermen. This was their business. And James and John were like partners with him, and they dropped their nets and left them and followed Jesus Christ. Wow. What was happening? Purpose was being birthed in their heart. And I want to fast forward a little bit, about 3 years, because they walk with Jesus. This is the time that Peter made all his mistakes. He says, you know, he steps out of the boat, and he walked on water, but then it begins to sink. I mean, he looked at Jesus and said, yeah, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus looked at him and, wow, like, hey, man, flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my spirit has revealed that to you. And what a moment. But then in the next moment, he's looking at Peter saying, get behind me, Satan. That's the roller coaster ride that Peter was on, the whole 3 years. Think about it. Now I want you to think about this. What if I looked at you one day and you said, "Get behind me, Satan." Some of you would just get all offended. Oh, I just can't believe you said that. But Jesus said that to Peter, didn't he? If you go and read it, he said, "Get behind me, Satan." I mean, Peter rode this roller coaster with his relationship with Jesus Christ. He cuts off a soldier's ear that's coming to get Jesus to take him to the cross. And Jesus is like, "Oh, no, Peter." Don't you know Peter just thought he was defending Jesus? And he was doing the right thing? And Jesus is like, "Oh, no, 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 don't do that. Those that use the sword, you'll die by the sword." He said, "Don't do that, don't do that." And then Jesus had the audacity to pick up the man's ear and heal him right in front of Peter. Wow. Peter was, he'd been on this ride. And all of a sudden, he does what Jesus tells him he's going to do. And Peter's adamant about not doing it. He says, "No, I'm not going to deny you." Jesus said, "Yes, you are. Three times. You'll deny me." And Peter's like very adamant about it. "No, I will not deny you. I'll not deny you." But then what happens? Of course, he denies him. We know the story just before Jesus goes to the cross. And then 3 days later, Jesus is resurrected. We're about to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And again, Peter's probably living in this world, you know, whoa, even after the resurrection, where's my place in what's happening here? I mean, what is going on with my life? I dropped everything 3 years ago, and I began to follow Christ Jesus. I'm talking about your path to purpose today, and living out that purpose. Because Peter had been on a path to his purpose. But it's interesting that after Jesus was resurrected, he still walked on the earth a few days. I think it was like 40 days, but before he went to ascended to the Father, and he appeared to the disciples from time to time. Well, we're fast forwarding all the way to John chapter 21, where the Bible says he had appeared to the disciples two times, and this was now the third time that Jesus had appeared to them. And it begins to share the events and what is going on here in the events of this story. Well, Peter's sitting there with six of the other disciples, and he says, "I'm going fishing." Why did he do that? Because he didn't know what else to do. He still didn't know where he stood. Peter's like, "I am going fishing." And so the other six say, "Well, we're just going with you too, Peter." And so they go out and fish. And guess what happens? They fish all night. And they catch nothing. Wow. Put yourself in Peter's shoes. Do you think that Peter felt like he might have been going in circles with his purpose? Because he dropped had fished all night and caught nothing before. I mean, Jesus first came and called him and to come and follow him, he'd fished all night and caught nothing. And now here he is fishing again and he catches nothing. And can't you imagine? He's like, "I couldn't get anything right when I was following Jesus. I denied him. Now I've gone back to the only thing I know and I still can't catch any fish." He must have felt like he was going in circles with his life. Have you ever felt like you've ever ended up right back in the place you started? You just go in circles, in circles, in circles, in circles, in circles, in circles. And if you really want to know what going in circles is like, just ride with my wife in a vehicle for some time, and you'll go in a lot of circles, all right? She is directionally dysfunctional, and she don't mind me saying that, because it is the truth. And she'll take you in circles, in circles, in circles, in circles, in circles. But my friend, I want you to know this today, is that there's times when we've had that wow moment. Because, you know, Peter, you know, he had that wow moment, just like what I talked about last week. When Jesus stepped in his boat and there's this great catch of fish, he has a wow moment. Then he has a trust moment. They laid down his nets and they followed. A yes moment was right there with all of that wow moment that we talked about last week. Peter experienced that himself. But yet now he ends up right back fishing again and catching nothing all night long. Like he's going in circles. Like this last 3 years, did it mean anything? What was this about? Now Jesus is talking about going away. What am I going to do with my life? I can't even fish now. I fished all night and caught nothing. And I don't know if that describes you or if you've ever been there in life, but I want to help you and get off of that roundabout of life and take one of the roads off of that roundabout, the path that God has for you, as you make a difference with your life and live out the purpose that God has for you. And there's five things I want to talk about. The first thing is this: is here's what you need to remember if you're on that pathway of purpose. And it just feels like you've been going in circles, circles, circles. You've ended up back in the place you started. Number one, the first thing you need to remember is this, is that what God starts, He finishes. Well, God is not a quitter. Look at your neighbor and say, God's not a quitter. God is not a quitter. He has never been a quitter, my friend. God has never quit on anyone. God, if God called you, my friend, God put that His purpose inside of you. No matter what's been going on in your life from that moment and from that time, no matter the struggle that you've been having, no matter you've put your foot in your mouth, no matter the mistakes that you've made, my friend, what God started in you, He will finish, my friend. That's the God that you and I serve. He is not a quitter. Don't you quit either. He's not a quitter. Don't you quit either, my friend. What He started, He'll finish. And I don't know, some of you may be reflecting back on a moment in your life. It just seemed like God moved in a powerful way. There was an experience with God. It was like a wow moment with God. And God moved in your life, and it was like it put you in this place on, I like to call it a spiritual high, if I could say it that way. And you were living out, it felt like you were living out that purpose in your life. And then all of a sudden, life started happening. Things started coming against you. And let me just say this to you. I don't say it in a negative way. I just say it in a way that you'll be aware, as that when God reveals His purpose to you, the enemy will attempt to come against you with everything that he has to keep you from the purpose of God. But let's remind ourselves that he's defeated, my friend, by Jesus Christ. And so you need to remember, someone needs to remember today, whether you're watching online or here in this sanctuary, is that what God started, He will finish. Philippians 1 and 6 says it this way: and I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue His work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. So you can rest assured today, my friend, that God is not a quitter, and He hasn't quit on you. And what He started in you, He will finish. And the second thing you need to know, if you've been on this, you've just been going, feel like you've been going in circles, the second thing is this, and very simple, and we all need to remind ourselves of this, is that without God, we can do nothing. We can do nothing. And sometimes, you know, we're a believer, God's given us our purpose, but it is possible that there are times in our life that we disconnect ourselves from the head, that's Jesus Christ. We disconnect ourselves from a life-giving relationship with Him. And let me remind you that you, without Him, you can do nothing. Even when you're trying to carry out the work of God, my friend, without Him, you can do nothing. You have to be connected to that life source. You have to be connected with a relationship with Jesus Christ, my friends. Because if you're not connected to Him, if you're not drawing from Him, what's happened is you're like clouds with no rain, okay? Let me say it that way. You've got a house, but you don't have a home, all right? Or you, let me say it this way, you have a boat with no fish. Because if we can see anything in that passage of Scripture in John chapter 21, if you know the story, and if you don't know the story, I encourage you to go to and read, because after they'd fished all night, Jesus shows up on the shore. And they don't know it's Jesus at the time. And He says, hey, guys, have you caught any fish? And they say, no, we don't have anything. He says, why don't you cast your net on the other side of the boat? And so they do, and they have this great catch of fish. If there's anything spiritually symbolic to that story, it's this, is that without Him, we can do nothing. But with one word from Him, it changes everything. One word from God changes everything, my friend, in our life. And so we've got to remind ourselves in that purpose that He's called us to, that purpose that He's planted us in, that He'll never quit. God will not quit on you. God will fulfill that purpose that He's put into your heart and called you to, my friend. But He also wants us to know that without Him, we can do nothing. We can do nothing. Nothing without Him. My friend, because He is our life source. And one word from Him, again, it changes everything. Changes everything. The third thing you need to remember, if you're on this circle, it just seems like you're going round and around, and you've ended up back where you've started. The third thing that you need to remember this, and this is very important, these next 2 points, well, the last 3 points are really all important, but I want you to just lock in with me, those of you watching at home, and lock in with me here. The third thing about it is that your purpose is personal. Your purpose is personal. Because after they had the great catch of fish, the Bible says in John chapter 21 is that, you know, John, let me go there and read the scripture in John chapter 21. It talks about, let me just share the story before I get to the scripture. I don't have that part in my notes, but the Bible says that it was John that, told Peter, he says, it's the Lord. After the great catch of fish. And so what does Peter do? Peter, he puts on his cloak and he jumps into the water and he swims to the shore. And when he gets to the shore, what does he find? He finds Jesus there cooking a meal on a fire. In fact, he's frying up some fish. And why is that significant? It's another message because in John 18 and 18, the Bible talks about Peter being around a fire when he denied Christ. And so here now is Jesus preparing fish. I wonder where Jesus got the fish. Wonder where he got the fish, and he was cooking it for them. You know what that tells me? That he's got something prepared for you that you're not going to have to work for. It's a surprise. He's got something for you that's a surprise, my friend. That's just because that's who he is, and he wants to do it in our life. And so they sit around, and they have this meal together, him and the disciples, and they're eating this meal. And he had told them, he said, now take some of the fish you caught and bring it as well. And I'm going to pick it up in John 21, verses 15 through 17. Because it's about to get personal. He says, after breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied, you know I love you. Then feed my lambs. Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said, you know I love you. Then take care of my sheep. Jesus said a third time, he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt, and Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said, then feed my sheep. He said, do you love me more? And there's, among theologians, there's a lot of opinions on that. Do you love me more? What was he talking about? Does he mean, do you love me more than the rest of these disciples love me? Do you love me more than you love the disciples? Or do you love me more than the fish that you just caught? And there's a lot of bit of discussion about that, in which it is. And personally, I don't know. I don't think anybody really knows. Maybe one day we'll find out. Do you love me more, he asked. But the point is what he's saying is, do you love me more than anything else? See, what he's doing is getting really personal with Peter. And every one of us, if we want to live out that purpose that God has for us, we've got to understand that we've got to get personal with him. It's about a relationship between us and him, and that purpose is personal in your life, and that he has a purpose for you, and you need to zero in on that relationship with him and know that he wants to zero in his relationship with you, and he wants to make it personal, my friend, something between you and him, just like he did with Peter there on that seashore. He zeroed in on Peter and made it personal while all the other disciples were right there and they were around. He's like, Peter, I'm talking to you. Why? Because Peter, I've got a purpose for you and I've got a plan for you. It became personal. And we have to receive it as personal. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. There's a tender exchange between Jesus and Peter, and what it's really redoing is restoring Peter to leadership. And it's restoring that purpose in his heart. It's letting Peter know, yes, I haven't quit. I've still got a plan for you, Peter. And it's restoring him to that place. But there's a flip side to this coin about it being personal, okay? And in John 21, 18 through 22, the Bible tells us, I tell you the truth, when you were young, he's continuing to talk to Peter. When you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. But when you were old, at least he's telling him he's going to get old. Yeah. Think about that. At least he's telling Peter, you're going to get old, okay? That's what I think I'm going to live to about 105. Come on, anybody? 105. Come on, let's do it. Let's do it. Why not? Man, I was over visiting my dad on Friday. My dad's 87 years old, and, man, he carries his age very well. Very well. My grandmother did that. And my dad carries his age very well. I mean, he's still talking about, and I look at Dad, and I'm just, come on, Dad. He's still talking about buying another boat to fish with when he has a boat. But what he really wants is a boat that's a little bit lighter, okay, so that he can go fishing by himself at 87 years old. I'm like, Dad, you do not need to go fishing by yourself. But you see, that's where he's at. He's like, he wants to get that lighter boat so he can unload the boat and load it all by himself, even at 87 years old, because he's carrying his age well. He still gets around really well. I just believe I'm going to live till 105. And that's what Peter, at least that's one of the things that Jesus told Peter, you're going to get old. But then he says this, you will stretch out your hands and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go. Jesus said this to him to let him know by which kind of death he would glorify God. Wow. So Peter, this is how you're going to die. It's how you're going to die. Then Jesus told him, follow me. Peter turned around and saw behind them the disciple that Jesus loved. Now I want to stop right there. What book of the Bible are we reading? The book of John. Who wrote the book of John? John did. Who's John talking about in this passage of Scripture? John is talking about John. Wow. Couldn't John just have said John? And no, he said the disciple that Jesus loved. Yeah. And I like that confidence. The disciple. I'm the one that Jesus loves. And Peter just turned around, because there was this competition thing always going on between Peter and John. You see it at other places in the Scripture. And he even goes on to say, the one who had leaned over to Jesus during supper and asked, Lord, who will betray you? And then Peter asked Jesus, he said, what about him? What about him, Lord? Jesus replied, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? As for you, follow me. You see, that's the flip side of this personal encounter and this personal relationship with Jesus Christ and this purpose that he gives you personally, is that he does that for everyone else as well. And so what was Jesus telling Peter? Is that the purpose that I have for John, that's none of your business. That's none of your business. You need to focus on what I've called you to do, is what he's telling him. That's the flip side. And as I was preparing this message, I just felt the Spirit of the Lord telling me that a lot of Christians aren't walking out their purpose because they're too focused on other people and what they're doing. Yeah. Instead of being focused on themselves and what God's called them to do. I mean, when God calls somebody, this is the great revelation if you hadn't already had it. When God calls somebody, and it's not me, he really doesn't ask my opinion. He really doesn't say, hey, kid, you know, what do you think about this? I've never had him do that in all the years I've been serving him, even as a pastor. I've never had him show up and say, kid, well, what do you think about if I call, you know, that her to ministry or him to ministry. What do you think about that call I have on their life? I've never had him do that. And so often, we get involved in people watching as believers. And we're so concerned about everybody else, especially when it's somebody that makes a mistake and God's still using them. Oh, I can't believe that. I just can't believe they're even being used in ministry again. As if God needed my opinion. And my friend, I'm trying to help you fulfill your purpose, because it's difficult to fulfill your purpose if you're focused on the purpose of everybody else, even when they make you unhappy. Or God does something and uses them in a way that you're like, well, I, I, I wouldn't use it. Let me just give you some insight about myself that I really personally feel, and my wife can tell you this. I'm the last person I would have called to do this. I mean, I wouldn't have chose me, because I know me. I would not have chose me, but God did, and that's what matters. And there's other people that God chooses them, and he doesn't need my opinion. That's the flip side of this personal encounter. I wonder what the other disciples were thinking sitting around that fire. I wonder what John was thinking, since him and Peter are always in a competition. Well, I wonder if I need to remind him just everything that Peter did. I wonder if Jesus remembers that Peter denied him 3 times. I just wonder if, John, because he's human like we are, I just wonder if John's sitting back going, when he died and was resurrected, did he just all of a sudden forget everything that Peter did? I mean, is Jesus having a moment? And I need to remind him? You just put yourself in their shoes. I mean, think about James and John, those two brothers there. The sons of thunder, as the Bible called them. I mean, at one time, they had mama go to Jesus and say, hey, can I sit on the one sit on the right or left-hand side? You know, can one of my sons, you know, one sit on the right-hand side and the other sit on the left-hand side? I mean, mama was trying to go and take up for James and John. I mean, she was right there saying, come on, Jesus, you got to put my two boys right there. So you know there was this stuff going on. And yet Jesus, after he has a meal, because James and John were there in that meal, the Bible tells us. And after they were there in that meal, having that meal, Jesus zeroes in on Peter. And the rest of them are just sitting there. They're just sitting there. Come on. How would you feel? See, your purpose has to be personal. And you can't focus on everybody else and what they're doing and what God's doing with everybody else. Because Jesus looked at Peter and said, what is it to you? If I want John to live until I return, what is it to you? You know, what was he telling Peter? That's none of your business. What I do with him? You follow me. You follow me. You follow me. You follow me. There one day when we all stand before him, he's not going to ask us to give an account for somebody else's life. Jesus isn't going to ask me to give an account for Lynn's life. Well, old Lynn, you know. Man, I want you to give an account for Lynn and his life, the life that he lived. I mean, Ken, did you know that woman he married, you know? She is a dynamic woman of God is what she is. But he's not going to ask me that. He's going to ask me this. What did you do with what I gave you? What I gave you to do? I'm trying to help you fulfill your purpose in life. You can't be looking at everybody else and what's going on in their life. You can't be looking at their mistakes. If, you know, I just approach it this way. God, if you want to use them, that's your business. It's not mine. It's not my business. I'm not the judge. You are. And that's the side of a personal relationship with Christ that we all need to remember, especially when we're talking about our purpose. Because, you know, what God's called you to do is enough for you to do. It's enough for you to do. In fact, it's beyond yourself. Because if it is God, it's going to be more than what you can do. It's beyond you. And so you got to focus on that. It's personal. And the fourth thing, and it gets better. The fourth thing is, go ahead, is that, and you've got, and I've got to share this with you as your pastor. You need to hear this, okay? And I'm so grateful for the land that I live in. Anybody, you thankful for America? Amen. I'm so thankful for this country, man. But I just want to tell you that, having been at the opportunity to travel in other places of the world, that we live in the land of convenience. We live in the land of convenience compared to what the rest of the world lives in. We live in the land of convenience. And I have to tell you, on this pathway to your purposes, if you really want to get off that circle just going around, there comes a time when you realize that your purpose is going to cost you. It's going to cost you something. There's going to be a price to pay to fulfill your purpose. Because if I don't tell you that, I'm not giving you the full truth, okay? Because that's what Jesus was telling Peter, you know. You're going to pay a price. There's going to be a price. You're going to die. What other person can look at somebody and say, if you follow me, it's going to lead to your death, and then turn around and say, follow me? That's what Jesus did to Peter. But listen, you're going to die anyway. You and I are going, if Jesus doesn't return within the next 50 years, a lot of us in this room, we're going to die. We are. I mean, why not die doing something for Jesus? And stop living life as if the purpose is to arrive safely at death. I mean, it's going to cost you something. It'll cost you time. It'll cost you effort. It'll cost you to live out your purpose for God fully. I just promise you, it will cost you to do that. And just as even as I did it in the first service, and I am going to go to my notes on this one because I want to read a few things. Because this is pretty big, okay? This is really big. The main thing is that each Christian should follow Christ in whatever manner he or she is called. You should follow Christ in that manner, okay? Next few statements, I will say they're pretty heavy, okay? Here's an obstacle some of us might have in fulfilling our purpose is this. It's because we've been so blessed. And I'm thankful for those blessings, aren't you? So grateful for those blessings, all right? Oh, man. I just thought of a passage of Scripture in the Bible that makes it. Let me read the point, then I'm going to say it. Because we have been so blessed, we are convinced that if we are inconvenienced in any way, it's clearly the manufacturer's fault. I mean, if I go to a restaurant and I'm inconvenienced, well, it's that restaurant's fault. It's absolutely their fault. I mean, last week we went to Cotton Patch. Why can I never remember that? Maybe I need to speak to Lamb remembering it, okay? Because every time I ask Jeannie, I'm like, I never can remember that. And she reminds me, and I forget. She reminds me, I forget. We went to Cotton Patch with Jeff and Christina Palmer. They put this new sign up, and there's some signs on the door. The family was with us, and all. But when we got there, they immediately told us, now look, we didn't get our delivery this week of the food that we usually do. And so we are out of a bunch of stuff. I mean, we could have got all huffy and puffy at that time. Because, wait a minute, you're inconveniencing me because I want what I want on that menu. That's what I want is what's on that, what's there. And listen, if you're not giving me what's on that menu, you have messed up. It's the manufacturer's fault, isn't it? Why? Because we like to work it. We want to be convenienced. We want to be convenienced. And that's the way we live. And we're I thank God for our blessings. But anything that inconveniences us, we blame it on the manufacturer. I think about in the scripture I thought about in the Bible was when Jesus was talking about watching that widow woman give into the offering. And he was standing there watching the people give. And she gave everything. And she had very little. You know what she did? She was inconvenienced. But you know what he told the rest of the rich people in there? He says, you're giving out of your abundance. You know what he's telling them? It's not even bothering you. It's not even inconveniencing you at what you're giving. He said, this woman's given everything. And what you're giving is not even inconveniencing you. You're just giving out of your abundance. Why? Because we don't like being inconvenienced. And so what I'm about to say to you, I want you to grab a hold of that I've got to say as a pastor. Because we all need it. I need it, okay? All right? In general, everybody lock it in with me. Say, yeah, Pastor, here I am. Come on, say it. Yeah, Pastor, here I am. Here I am. In general, we have convinced ourselves that rights and not responsibilities should determine our relationship with others and with God. I didn't say that one in the first service. I wish everybody got it here. But we have convinced ourselves that rights and not responsibilities determine our relationship with God and with others. He said, it's all about my rights. Now, I thank God for our rights in this country. We have a Bill of Rights. I thank God for the civil rights movement. It accomplished a lot. I thank God for that stuff, okay? But why do we here in the world and our country need rights? Because man is corrupt, all right? But God is not corrupt. There's not a corrupt bone in his body. And when I'm giving up my rights to him, man, that's the best place to be, my friend, because that's what he was telling Peter. That's what Jesus was telling Peter. When he told Peter, don't you worry about John, this is what I've called you to. What was he telling Peter? You don't have any rights. All you have is responsibility. Go feed my sheep. And everything that we do sometimes is determined. We look at, well, my rights. Well, I've got a right to this. I've got a right to that. I've got a right to that. Well, Pastor, if I go to this church, I've got a right to this. I've got a right to that. And already, here's what happens. You don't enter it in with the right heart. Because it's not about our rights, it's about our responsibility as believers and being part of a family that's bigger than just us in our relationship with God. Jeannie and I, she can tell you, my witness, ever since I recommitted my life to Christ, there's never been one moment that we walked into the church and it was about our rights. Even when I wasn't in ministry, it was about my responsibility to be part of that church and to serve that church and the people there. Not one time did I ever, Pastor didn't do this for me, that out of my right, he's supposed to do that, I'm just going to bail out of this thing. Never. Why? Because it was never about my rights. It was about my responsibility to serve, to be a part of the family. According to the book of Ephesians, when Paul is telling them, you know, I've given you the fivefold gift, Jesus gave you the fivefold ministry, and every part, you know, should come and part of the body and connect and be involved, use their gift to serve that body so that body will complete and whole, will be complete and whole and glorify Jesus Christ. Why does that mean? That's a responsibility of mine. It's not a right. And so, my friend, in this last part, and I know it sounds a little bit strong, but we have to come to the place in our walk with God, okay? And again, let me just say that I'm thankful for the rights we have in our country, okay? I'm thankful for those things. But listen, if there was no man government here, no secular government, and it was just God running things, we wouldn't even be concerned about our rights. Because of how perfect God is. He's a wonderful God and he loves us. But just live out your purpose, and to get off that circle, there has to be a shift in our attitude and in the way we think. Is that it'll cost me to be a part of this body. It'll cost me to serve. And I can assure you, my friend, I am up here in this place right now because my wife has paid a great price for me to be here. She's the one. She's paid a greater price than I have. Without her, I probably wouldn't be here. And the sacrifice that she's made, because she didn't make it about her rights. Even when the Bible said you have the right to do this because of this, she didn't make it about her rights. She did not. She made it about a responsibility for us to have a healthy home and to fulfill the call of God in our life. And friend, if you really want to step into destiny there, make that shift in your life, is that it's about my responsibility, not my rights. Jesus informed Peter that he must surrender whatever rights he had to complete obedience and submission to his Lordship. And that's not something to fear, my friend, because he loves you. You know, Matthew 16 and 24 says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross and follow me. Wow. What is that? What is your cross? You don't have the same cross Jesus had. But your cross is doing the will of God for your life at your expense. That's what Jesus did, the will of God at his own expense. And that's what your cross is, whatever it might be, is doing the will of God at your own expense. But my friends, that's a great place to live. That's a great place to be. Oh my goodness. Won't you stand with me to experience everything that God has for you? My, and the life that he has for you, and the plan and the purpose that he has for you. And you may feel like you've been on this roundabout, and you just keep going round and round. You keep ending up at the same place you started. Well, my friend, if you want to take a road off of that roundabout into the path and purpose God has for you, I'm telling you, if you will just get to that place to where you know what God started in you, he is going to finish. And that without him, you can do nothing, my friend. And that purpose that he has for you, it's personal. But the purpose he has for others is personal too, between them and God. And he don't need my opinion for them. He really don't need my opinion for me either. He just needs my obedience. Really, that's all he needs. That's all he needs, okay? He doesn't need my opinion. I really feel like God knows what he's doing. He's been doing this long enough that he knows what he's doing. But then I need to realize that there's a price that I need to pay. There's for that purpose that he's called me to. It's just a price that you need to pay. I don't know any other way to describe it. Jesus said it. He said, if you want to be my follower, you deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. You look at the disciples and the life that they live, my goodness. You look at some of them that weren't some of the, like what we would call the 12 that he chose that God used in the book of Acts. And they were laying down their life for the cause of Christ. But this last part is, why do we do all this? What motivates us? Well, it's love. It's love for God and love for people, okay? Very simply, I just want to say it that way. It's love for God and love for people. Because that's what motivates us, because that's what Jesus said. Do you love me, Peter? And Peter's like, yep. He said, well, then go feed my sheep. What he's saying is your love for me now should overflow to feeding and helping others feed my sheep. Because that's what your life is going to be about, Peter. It's about others. And that's what our purpose about. Every one of our purpose is about other people. Some way, some form, some fashion, in some area of life. It's about other people. It's not about us. It's about others. And love has to be that motivation there. If you love me. Because I love God and I love people. We know the great commandment that Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Matthew chapter 22. But in Mark chapter 8, I'm about to wrap this up. It's Mark 8:35. Jesus said this, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. You'll save it. And so, my friends, I'm calling everyone on this path to purpose. And I don't know where you've been at on that path. But I can tell you this, a life lived for Jesus will never end in regret. It'll never end in regret. You might have an obstacle. You might face a struggle, you know. You'll have wow moments, you'll have trust moments, you'll have yes moments all through this life. But my friends, the best thing that you can do in those, and when you have those moments is buckle in and say, okay, God, this thing isn't about me. I know what you're doing in my life. You're raising me up. I'm willing to do whatever you ask me to do, Father. My life belongs to you. I don't want to be on this endless circle and get to where just keep ending up where I started. At some point, I've got to break free from that into what God's called me to do, where I'm living that fulfilled life and knowing that I'm fulfilling his purpose for my life. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I thank you for everyone here in this service. God, I thank you for those that have joined us online. And God, I thank you for this message. I know some of this message was a bit heavy, God. God, we rejoice when we say, we know that you're going to finish what you started. I'm thankful for that. God, I can even rejoice knowing that I can do nothing without you, because John 15:5, Jesus said, he said that he's called us to bear much fruit, but without him, we can do nothing. We can do nothing without him. And Father, I just thank you for that relationship that we have with you. And God, I thank you that it's personal, Lord, and help me. You know, I know there are times I may read something here, read something there that all of a sudden I kind of get distracted onto other people's lives, God, instead of what you've called me to do. And I know, Father, if I'm going to be focusing on anybody else, my focus needs to be that I want to help them. To help them, because that's my purpose, God. Not to judge them, not to question you, not to question them. But God, just to know that their call with you, their purpose with you is personal as well. And Lord, help, and I know this seems sometimes kind of heavy, but honestly, Lord, I want to be convenient. I don't like to be inconvenienced, Lord. And I thank you for the blessings that we have. I thank you for the rights that we have in a country, Lord. And it just seems like lately we're always fighting for those rights, Lord. It seems like sometimes we're losing those rights here and there, God, and in different places, Father. And I know the value of those rights, and I thank you. Again, those rights are because people are corrupt, and we need them. But God, you're not a corrupt God. You love us with unconditional love, and there's not one thing you want us to do, God, Father, that is bad for us. It's really good for us. Because you're a good father. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And sometimes it may be difficult, Lord, but I really do need to give up those things, my rights, and just fulfill my responsibilities that you've called me to as a pastor, Lord. And as someone you've called to encourage people all over the world, I need to give those up. And there's some, I need to give up those rights about all of that. And I just need to surrender to that responsibility. And there's some right now you're talking to, God, that there's been a lot of time they focused on their rights. And they thought, well, this. But God, I just pray that today, gently, your Holy Spirit has spoke to them. Just to lay down those rights and focus on the responsibilities of what you've called them to do, Lord, and to serve others, and for us to realize it's all about love, about loving you and loving other people, God. Every head bowed, I just want to ask you a question. I know everyone here, and I just want to ask you a question. Do you feel like you've been going in a circle? Is there anybody here who just lift your hand? Say, Ken, thank you so much for being honest. Anybody else? I've just been going on in a circle. I really don't feel like I'm fulfilling my purpose. I just keep going in a circle and arriving back at the place I start. Anyone else want to lift your hand and say, yeah, Pastor, that's me. You're talking to me here. Anyone else? Thank you so much for being honest. Thank you very much. Anyone else? Anyone else? Father, you saw the hands that were lifted. Father, and those at home, and you may feel like I'm talking to you this morning, and you've been going in just a circle, Lord, and you're ready to get off that circle, and the Holy Spirit's been tugging at your heart. You just need to say yes to God. You need to give up those rights and just take a hold of those responsibilities of, God, I'm going to do what you call me to do, and I'm going to step into that place of destiny. And Father, I know sometimes I make it sound easier than what it is, but truly, Father, it can't be that easy. Of just our declaration of saying, God, here I am. I surrender to you. Take my life and use it. Every day I say that. Because I love you and I love people. And I want to serve you and I want to serve other people, Lord. And I want to be used for the purpose you created me for. God, I pray for a church that's full of people that are confident in the purpose that you've called them to, God. They're confident. Each one of them, it's a personal purpose that you've given them. But Lord, you uniquely have designed the body to bring it together, Father, to fulfill your big picture. And so I pray that every person will just step into that, Father. Those that lifted their hands, Father, they just feel like they've been going around and around. God, I pray that they would get off that circle, Lord, and just get on that path that you've called them to. And I pray it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you.